kind of adjusting. We started a new program about 2 months ago, beginning the 1st of October, in revamping our children's church. And so in that process, we made some changes to the kids' involvement in our services. And where they used to be in on the fourth Sunday of every month, that's no longer the case. They are now with us on the fifth Sundays. So anytime there's a five-Sunday month, then the kids are coming into the service. But instead of just having a brief moment for them where they do a children's sermon, indeed, that Brother Brett is working with them. And during these fifth Sundays, the kids will have a much more involved part of the service throughout its entirety. And so they'll be coming and going and doing. And so this is a first for us. And so we're making the adjustments. And it just so happened that the first one also hits us the first Sunday of Advent season. So we're working all kinds of things around this morning. But just make yourself at home and enjoy the service this morning as we celebrate the Advent season and as we celebrate our children and the things that they've been learning in our new Children's Church program. So enjoy the day as we worship the Lord today.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Hopefully everyone is out of their turkey coma from Thanksgiving. How many of you all had at least one Thanksgiving that you got to go to? Anybody have a couple? Anybody have three? Goodness. I thought I was doing good with just going to two different ones, but more than that, I'd be turkeyed out, so... We do want to say good morning and welcome to you all. As we are in the midst of the holidays, we have several people that are out and about traveling. We have different family gatherings, so we know that not a lot of people can be here on a regular basis. So those of you that are here, we do want to say welcome, good morning, especially to those of you that might be visiting this morning. We do want to say good morning and welcome to you all. First thing I want to do is say, look around the sanctuary this morning. Doesn't it look beautiful? Yes. Every year, Paula and several others decorate. They spend several hours getting that ready. And so this morning we want to say special thanks to those of you that helped this past week, this past Monday night, and also say thank you to Paula for that. Real quickly, I've got several announcements I want to go over. It seems like when we get into the holidays, we get busier and busier and busier, so we want to make certain we at least touch on the important announcements. In the middle of your bulletin, you'll see the little guest registration. And then I mentioned on the back side of that guest registration, there is a kind of upcoming special events. Take that, keep that, put it in your purse, your wallet, hang it on your refrigerator. That way you kind of have an idea, a constant reminder of what some of the upcoming events are going to be. But this week, of course, we have small groups and church this evening. We have two choir practices left, and Steve's going to come up here in a little bit. He wants to touch on that. But we have two choir cantata practices left before we actually perform here in a couple weeks. Then this Thursday, Jennifer Swearingen has started here in the last few weeks a beginner's sewing class. And they're going to meet again this Thursday evening here at the church at 6:30. This Friday, the Giggles Ornament Exchange here at the church also at 7 o'clock. If you have a teen that is part of the youth group, their annual party, Christmas party and lock-in is this coming weekend. If you need any more information on that, you can give Cody a call and he can get all that answer for you. Our men's ministry, we normally meet here at the church on either the fourth or the last Saturday of the month. This coming Saturday is our annual or is our monthly gathering for November and December. We're kind of combining those. But instead of meeting here at the church, we're actually going to meet at Brahms. So be at Brahms at 8 o'clock. Pastor is going to reserve that back room for us. You can go order, pay for your breakfast, and we'll gather in fellowship for that as well. Next Sunday, Mary, why don't you go ahead and come up. Next Sunday is our
Family Christmas program. It's for everybody. Okay, this is our third year, and I don't know, we've got a few new people. So this is our third year. Every single person who has participated from 5 to 90 has had a really fantastic time. So I encourage everybody to be here for Sunday school next week because it starts at 9:40 is when we prepare. It's called an instant Christmas program. What did I say? Okay, 9:30 is when church starts. Apparently I got here at 9:40 this morning. Sorry. Sorry, now I'm all distracted. 9:30 is when you break into groups and you get prepared and you find out what you're going to do. And each group has a little part, has their own very little part in the Christmas program. And then you get to see how it all comes together during the regular church service. So please come at 9:30 and join us. Anybody who's involved, my leaders and my characters, I need you to be here at 9, please. And if you're late, I might have a meltdown. So please be here at 9. Thank you.
All right, so that is next Sunday. And then in 2 weeks, our actual choir Christmas cantata will be that Sunday.
Our grandchildren just left. You'll have to bear with me. I think the next big thing on our agenda is, in fact, the choir cantata presentation. So, all you choir members, we have this Wednesday night and the one after as it stands now. We do not have a dress rehearsal scheduled at the present time. That's open to the need for it. We'll see how things go. So anyway, this Wednesday night and next Wednesday evening here in the choir loft behind me at 6:30 p.m. both nights, please be here. We need your participation. Thank you.
All right, I do want to also mention the next Sunday evening begins the hanging of the greens, and we will be having a communion service during that service as well. The last announcement that I want to touch on, a lot of you probably ordered a pie for Thanksgiving. The Ladies Fellowship is doing that also for Christmas. If you want to order a pie for Christmas, the cutoff is December the 16th to have your pie orders in for that. So you can see any one of the ladies' council members at any time up till the 16th to get your pie order in. Thank you.
I just want to remind everybody that next Sunday our food items and gifts need to be in for the adopted family from Least of These. And I have a greeting from our child's with the child sponsorship program from the Nazarene Church. We have two of these children that we are sponsoring in our church, and we have a greeting from her, and I think it's so cute. If you kids look, can you see how she made Winnie the Pooh up there on her letter? Isn't that neat? I thought that was really cute. The letter says, "Dear sponsors, with loving greetings, I'm wishing you success in your daily work. My name is Jennifer Sanchez. I'm 12 years old. I attend the Church of the Nazarene in the community of Robles, Morazan. Through this letter, I'm writing to thank you for the help you have given to me during this time. This year, I will finish sixth grade. I hope you will continue to help me so I can continue in seventh grade. May the God of our fathers, the Almighty, bless you with blessings from heaven. Bye for now."
The giving that you all have done as far as giving for the turkeys through the Least of These, $968. Also, the special offering for the Gideons, we've received $180, and that will be open through this week if anyone would like to contribute to the Gideons. We have that special Gideon service, and we're holding that offering open so that you have an opportunity to get it in. Look at these young people here. They're really anxious.
Amen. Good.
They're smiling. Do you have someone who's going to lead in prayer, or should I do that? You want me to? Okay. Heavenly Father, we're so blessed today to be able to bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse of God. Bless each individual gift. Bless each individual tithe. And Lord, may your blessings flow richly from the throne of mercy and grace. And bless these children as they receive our tithes and offerings. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
sure the offering plates ever got turned loose of it. So if you didn't get, if the plate didn't make it by you, well, you can cash in at the back of the sanctuary after church or whatever. But it's great to have these kids in the service today, and we're so excited about this new children's ministry, and we appreciate Brett taking charge of our children's church and directing it. So we're going to turn it over to Brother Brett.
Say, go ahead and come up. I just want to say, first of all, thank you for everybody giving me the opportunity to lead the children and do this. This is a blessing to me and my family. My wife is greatly involved as well, and so we hope you guys enjoy the worship service this morning and what we're doing. So. Okay, so this is not usually the way we do children's church, so just give you an idea. Let's go to the side. Okay. So really, these are songs. I kind of want to give you guys an idea of what we do. So in the mornings when we come in, we do worship songs like you guys do. We preach this as a real children's church. And so the songs they're singing today are songs they do as a part of their worship. And every month we change up the songs so they get new songs and new things to go over. But these are things that you guys can see what we do. So the next song we're going to do is Soul on Fire, and they do instruments with this, so it might get really loud, but this is the fun part of their whole service, so.
Till I am a soul on fire, Lord. Guys, that was wonderful. It was just, it's really thrilled my heart. As we continue in worship, we're going to sing kind of a older Christmas Advent song.
As we prepare our hearts for prayer this morning, I want to say a special thanks to all of you who took the time to attend on Tuesday evening, if you were able, the Thanksgiving community service. And the Ministerial Alliance appreciates it very much. I want you to know they received over $1,200 in the community offering that night. That's the largest offering that we've ever received in that Thanksgiving community service. That money goes to 60% of it stays in the Ministerial Alliance Fund to help people passing through the transient needs. 40% of it is given to Least of These to indeed continue to help those who are permanent residents of the area. But we thank you so much for your giving to that offering, as well as to the things that we're doing here as a local church, the way that you're responding. And I want to beg of you. You know, I know some people aren't in the habit of going to 9:30 Sunday school. Please, please, please be here at 9:30 next Sunday. You're going to have the greatest time. This is a very enjoyable presentation. And come at 9:30 and get into one of the four groups and be a part of that. Be praying for Mary and those who will be leading the groups. And then on that Sunday evening, we'll have the Hanging of the Greens, which indeed is an explanation of all of the symbols of Christmas, and it'll culminate in the communion service. It'll be a very special time, very sacred time. The Cantata is on the 13th. There's just a myriad of ongoing special services, and I hope that you'll take the opportunity to be a part of everyone that you can be and help us as we celebrate this very, very special Advent season, as we look forward and celebrate the coming of Christ the first time, and as we anticipate the coming of Christ again in our Christian community. We remind you that there are several things that are mentioned within your bulletins. It is so great to see Lonnie and Donna in service with us this morning. They've both had some real challenges health-wise, and so we appreciate them being able to be here this morning. And Chris Downing is continuing to recover from knee surgery, and we ask you to continue to pray for her. And there's been several that have been having some health issues, some sickness and things that indeed have challenged some of our families, and we indeed have people traveling. It is still kind of the end of the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. We have people that will be returning home today and traveling, and so pray for traveling mercies for them, that God would indeed watch over them as they return through the start of the work week, and just many things there that we have on our hearts and minds. These altars are open to you this morning. If you have need of them, you feel free to come. We're going to be transitioning from Summit and High Point Schools the 1st of December, to just a couple of days. We'll be transitioning and beginning to pray for Inman Intermediate School. And so thank you. We've received a thank you cards from all of the places that we've been. And so you're having an impact. You're making a difference on that faculty and staff of those schools. And we appreciate that so very, very much. And we want to continue to be faithful as we pray over those situations and for those folks. And so we're going to sing together again. The altars are open to you this morning. If you have need of a place of prayer, to lay down burdens or to lift up praise, whatever the case might be, you feel free to come, and then we'll lift our voices together in prayer.
Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord.
Father, it is with excitement and anticipation in our hearts that we come to this time of prayer today. It's been a wonderful Thanksgiving week, and many of us have had the opportunity to be with family or friends and to celebrate. Most of all, to acknowledge your blessings and your gifts in our lives. Father, we want to thank you for all good things that you have given to us. And Lord, we're not talking primarily about material things. We are indeed thankful for those blessings of life that make life more enjoyable. But Father, we are grateful today for eternal life. We're thankful today for forgiveness of sins. We're thankful for the Word of God to give us guidance and spiritual victory in our hearts and lives today. We give you praise. We thank you for being a healing God. And as we have indeed gone through various challenges, some of our folks and our families, that you have indeed touched them and are bringing healing into their life. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings as we think back over this past year, all that you have done for us. We just want to say thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. You are worthy of our praise. today. And then, Lord, we lay before you this list of names that is within our bulletin that indeed represent various situations. We know, Lord, that you are able to work. You're involved in every situation. Lord, we thank you for our children that are here as part of our worship service today. We thank you for Brother Brett and Mindy that are leading them in Children's Church and all of those who are working. Thank you for Mary, our Children's Ministry Director. Lord, these kids are important to us, and we're glad that they love Jesus, and we're glad that they want to come to church, and we're glad they want to learn about the Word of God. And Lord, we're glad that they're willing to come and to share and to begin to learn to serve and to be a part of the church. Lord, they're not the church of tomorrow. They are indeed a very important part of the church today. And Lord, we thank you for that, and we know that they will rise up to be the leaders in the near future. And so, Lord, we just thank you for what's being impressed upon them as the various workers, Jennifer in the Kinder Church and others that care for our children, those who work on Wednesday nights. It's a very important part, vital part of what we do, and we're glad that they're here this morning and helping us to worship and to learn some of the things that they've been learning about the Word of God and how God is working in their lives. Lord, we thank you for the Advent season and for the celebration of Christmas. And now, Lord, we pray that you just continue to bless. We thank you for those who helped to decorate the church. And it's a beautiful place this morning to come, a great atmosphere in which to worship and to lift up our thanksgiving to you. So, Lord, we pray that you continue to be in charge of our lives, of this service today. All that will take place, may it be to your glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for it in the powerful and the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We are at the point in this service, this is indeed the first Sunday of Advent, where we celebrate over these next 4 or 5 weeks the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And one of the things that has become a tradition for us here at Nixa Church of the Nazarene, and we have some new folks who have come in to our congregation this year, and so they may not be familiar with this may be the first Christmas season that you've been with us. And so one of the things that we do during these weeks of Advent is we light the Advent wreath, and it sits here on our communion table. And there are various meanings, and we'll talk about this in the Hanging of the Greens next Sunday night, so we encourage you to come and hear about these things. But the candles can represent personalities of Christmas, or they can represent peace, love, hope, and joy. That depends on how you present the season. But we use the lighting of the Advent wreath. A lot of people have these in their homes, but we use the one in the church to give us an opportunity to introduce to you some of the new people who have come into our midst in the course of the past year. And I have asked Gary and Erlene to come this morning. And Zeb didn't know I was going to do this, but he's right down here on the front row with the kids. And so, Zeb, I want you to come and stand with your grandparents here this morning. And we want to introduce to you Gary and Erlene Judd and their grandson, Zeb. They've been coming to us now since August when we started the Summer for Souls. And we just want to say how much we appreciate the distance that they travel each week to make their way into our sanctuary. And Gary and I got acquainted when I almost ran over him with my box truck because he was going across the street to his mailbox over here. And so, at any rate, we are so glad that they are here. Gary, Erlene, you're close by. I'm going to ask you to pick up that microphone for just a minute. And if you would, just tell us a little bit about where things are at. You guys are retired now, but you might just tell us what you guys used to do and kind of what's going on in your life now. And we're grateful that Zeb was really kind of the first one that came through the doors in the Bible school, and so we're thankful, Zeb, that you brought your family. Appreciate that.
Well, we came from Knobnostor, Missouri, which is about 140 miles north of here, and Gary and I both were raised there, growed up there, went to school there. I started out as a hairdresser in Knobnostor for about 30 years, and my legs finally gave out, so I decided to work for the state of Missouri. I had fun, it was good, but I retired from that. Gary worked at Gardner Denver in Sedalia for 15 years. He also worked for the Knobnostor Police Department for 17, 18 years. And our daughter Tamara got a job down here, and all of our wish was to retire in Branson is what we thought we were going to do. this is pretty close. And yeah, we're retired, but we're really busy because we keep up with a little 2-year-old every day and help Tamara out with babysitting. So that's kind of our life story and summed up.
All right. Thank you, Earlene. We're going to ask you to light one of the purple candles and to read our poem for us this morning. We're celebrating the personalities of Christmas. The first purple candle that we light usually represents the prophets. It is the advance notice of the coming of the Messiah.
Excuse me, I have to wear my glasses. Today we gather to worship and praise the one whose birthday is in a few days. He came to a world that was lost and in need, and brought light and hope with each word and deed. The prophet spoke and said Messiah would come, hear by all, but only believe by some. They told all these things centuries in advance, so the world could know and give peace a chance. We light this candle in this wreath of green, and celebrate the people in nativity scene. It's a special time that we call Advent, when we honor Jesus Christ, the Son that God sent.
Amen. Would you welcome the judge this morning?
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
Well, we're glad you're here. We're going to turn the floor back to Brett this morning, and he's going to be sharing with us, and the kids are going to be sharing with us some of what they've been doing for the last couple of months.
Happens on Sunday mornings. The kinder church is going. Miss Jennifer, and I thank her for taking care of them. And also, I just want to first start off just thanking Steve Beechler and Tyler Beechler and Mary that have helped the children's church. And it's open for volunteers. We're always looking for volunteers, and so we just want to always encourage you guys. And we're trying to encourage the children to grow. So, kids, if you want to come on up, we're going to do like the children's sermon thing that pastor does. So, come on up. Let's get on the stage here. So right here. So come on up. Come on up. Come on up. It's like children's sermon. So I know I'm making you walk. I know. Okay, so lately, this whole month, we have been focused on Joseph. Not Joseph of the Bible story of Jesus being born, but Joseph as in Genesis Joseph. Joseph as in him who was sold by his brothers, and who was made the second highest ruler in the kingdom of Egypt, besides Pharaoh. So, kids, what have we learned? What have you guys learned in Joseph? Who's got something you guys learned? Oh, come on! I know I've seen somebody's hands. Have we learned to trust in God? Yes. Okay. Have we learned to be thankful for what we've been given? Yes. Okay. What else do you guys think about Joseph? So Joseph was sold by his brothers. Do you guys think Joseph was bitter about that or angry? Yeah? Yeah. Have you guys ever done anything to somebody else that's made them angry? Or has made you angry? Has somebody done something to you that's made you guys angry? Yes? What? What have you guys done? Have you guys been disobedient ever? Do I need to talk to the parents? Because I'm certain the parents could probably tell me more. Parents, has they ever been disobedient, ever? Been in trouble? Yeah, Jacob?
Whenever my brother hits me, I hit him back.
Oh, yeah, see, that's about normal.
Never mind.
Come on.
If my sister hits me, I hit her right back.
Oh, yeah. Have you guys ever been disobedient to your teacher?
No.
Oh, never. Yes.
Okay. I forgot.
You forgot? Okay. Well, Joseph probably had a lot to be angry about. I mean, let's think about this here. First of all, God gives him two dreams that he's going to be a great ruler. And instead, what happens? First of all, his brothers get mad at him, right? They punch him and they beat him up. His dad gets mad at him for even talking about that, saying, hey, we're going to bow down to you. Then he gets sold into slavery, right? He gets put into prison because he helps Potiphar, and then Potiphar's wife tries to do something with him, and so he gets put in prison for it. Then out of all that, he helps the cupbearer and the bread maker understand their dreams. And the cupbearer's like, yeah, I'll remember you. But for 2.5 years, he was not remembered. He was still in prison. Then finally he gets out of prison. He becomes Pharaoh's second right-hand man, second in all the kingdom. And his brothers show up one day, right? Now, if somebody done something to you and that person showed up, would you be happy or angry to see them? Angry? Yeah, that's one thing, yeah. Would you be sad, maybe? Unhappy? Yeah.
Scared.
You might be scared, yeah. Because why? Because they've done something against you, right?
Nervous.
That's another good word. Because they did something against you. And so Joseph does a series of things to figure out what his brothers are at. If his brothers have actually changed their hearts, they changed their lives, he does a series of events. First of all, he has one brother stay while he sends the other brothers back. He hides a piece of silver into Benjamin's, into his brother's sack, so he keeps his brother there, sends his brothers back again, all the time testing his brothers. But eventually, it hits Joseph pretty hard. And if you go to chapter 45 of Genesis, and if everybody has their Bibles, you can go there as well. It talks about Joseph making himself known to his brothers. It says, then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, have everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? Brothers' brothers were not able to answer him because they are terrified at his presence. Why do you think they are scared at his presence? Didn't they need something? They needed food, right? And what did Joseph have? He had food. But also, what did Joseph have? Power.
They were afraid that he would kick them out of his business.
That's true. He was afraid that he'd kick them out of his presence. That's exactly right. They were afraid that they would not get any food, they wouldn't be able to take it back to their families, and their families would starve and die. Because all the things they'd done to Joseph beforehand. But what did Joseph do? It says, and Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. For all that had happened, Joseph was forgiving them. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. So now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. So for all of what Joseph's brothers did, he forgave them. How many guys have ever forgiven anybody? How have you ever had to ask for forgiveness? Yeah. My daughter had to do that this morning, strangely enough. Autumn had to come ask for forgiveness because she wasn't getting ready for church and was getting in trouble. And yet she came up to me and said, Dad, I'm sorry for doing what I did, for not getting ready. How many of you guys watch the show Girl Meets World? Yeah? How many of you guys know what the show Girl Meets World is? Okay, a couple of you, a few of you. Girl Meets World is a Disney show. And it's a good show. It's based upon a show that I grew up with called Boys Meets World. And on the show, they had a project about a month ago called the Forgiveness Project. On that show, the teacher handed them out envelopes. So I'm going to hand you guys some envelopes. I want you to take one apiece. Okay. Pass them around. Take one apiece. And he told them to get a piece of paper. So once you guys take the envelopes, I want you to take a piece of paper. So take a piece of paper and pass it around as well. So we're going to do something different here. Now, I don't want you to do it right here, obviously. But when you guys go home, you can have your parents help you. I want you guys to write a letter. I want you guys to write a letter to somebody, either A, that you need to ask for forgiveness from, or B, that you need to forgive. Because the moral of the story here of Joseph is that Joseph wasn't just thankful for what he got and just trusting God, but he also forgave his brothers. Because why? Because God gave him a purpose. And for each of you, you all have a purpose. Oh, yeah, you all get a piece of paper. Here you go, Jacob. Zeb, got it? Okay. So I want you guys to understand something, that in our lives, we could be very bitter about things. We could be very angry about what happens in our lives, right? People make mistakes, and because of those mistakes, they do sometimes things wrong to us, and sometimes we do things wrong to them. But of all the things that have been done wrong in this world, we did a lot of wrong things against God. But God loves us, right? We're getting ready to celebrate something very awesome and very great. And what is that? Christmas. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Is it to get toys? No? Okay. Zeb.
Christmas was the day Jesus was born.
Okay.
It's Jesus' birthday.
Birthday?
I forgot.
You forgot?
It's Jesus' birthday, but why is his birth so important?
Oh, you had it. You had it. No?
Because he's our father.
Because
he's the holy God.
But did he? What else did he do? Did he forgive us?
He died on the cross for our sins.
He died on the cross for our sins. But to die on the cross for our sins first, he had to be born, right? He is born so that we could have forgiveness. That's the greatest love letter that God ever gave us. God gave us a love letter in his son. And that's the same thing I want you guys to do. I want you guys to go home, and you can either draw, you can also draw a picture to the person. But I want you to think of somebody in your lives that maybe you need to ask for forgiveness from. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe you've done something wrong against them and you need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe you weren't listening. Or maybe it was that somebody did something to you, and you want to tell them that you forgive them. And maybe you could be just like Joseph in forgiving somebody else of what's been done to you. Because I don't know about you guys, I've had a lot of things done wrong to me. But I've also done a lot of things wrong. But above all, God loved us and forgave us enough to bring his son so that we could have what? Everlasting life. So that we can understand who God is in our lives. So today, I want you guys to remember that, okay? I want you guys to remember what forgiveness is and what it means to be forgiven. So let's bow our heads real fast, okay? Lord, I just thank you, God, today that for what Joseph taught us in the story, that it's not just about trusting you guys, not just about being thankful for what's going on in our situation or circumstances, that you're there, but that, God, you forgive us and we can forgive others. And also, we can be forgiven. God, we all make mistakes and we all do things wrong. But I pray right now for these children, God, as they grow up, that they learn that it's not just about being forgiven, it's about forgiving others, and it's about doing what's right. And that no matter what, God, they can come before you, God, with anything they've done wrong, and they can ask for forgiveness of that situation. We praise you, God, for this day. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay. You guys can go back to your seats. Go to your parents. So.
Let's just appreciate these kids here this morning. They're doing a good job. We are so glad that they are a part of our service and involved in what we're doing. Let me just kind of make a transition for us right quick. As we think about Joseph, I want to tell you a tale of two Joseph. How many of you remember that there was a book out there called A Tale of Two Cities? How does the Tale of Two Cities, how does that start off? best of times and the worst of times. And when we think about a tale of two Josephs, the truth of the matter is, that's a fitting statement. It was the worst of times and the best of times. Brett's kind of already given us kind of the outlay of Joseph from the Old Testament, and so I don't want to repeat that too much, but I want to take you a little further down the road into Genesis chapter 50, and in verses 18 through 21, it reads this way. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. And then I also want to take you into the New Testament this morning. And I want to read to you a passage from Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, speaking about Joseph, who became the father of Jesus. "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" As we think about a tale of two Josephs, as we think about Old Testament Joseph, and we think about New Testament Joseph, I just want us to briefly for a moment this morning think about the things that are similar about them and what we can learn from that as we celebrate this Advent season, as we make the transition into the celebration of Christmas. And as we think about that Joseph that our children have been learning about for several months, we know already you've been told he was cast into a pit. He was sold into slavery. He was unjustly accused and placed in prison, and yet he remained faithful to God. He continued to trust God to bring him out, and we know that the end result was that he ended up being second in command in Egypt, and indeed he was able to help his family in such a way that had he never been sold into slavery, had he never ended up in Egypt, that never would have been the case. And then when we think about the New Testament Joseph, there's some hardships that the New Testament Joseph went through as well. I mean, I know that every Christmas we probably may hear a sermon around this type of subject, but when we stop and think about it, do you ever realize that there's nothing recorded in the New Testament that Joseph said? There's all kinds of things that were said to Joseph from the angels. There's never a verbal response recorded. Now, I think it would be unrealistic for us to think that Joseph never spoke. We know that in that particular culture, as soon as Mary came to him and said, "I'm with child," there were probably some things that began to immediately run through Joseph's mind. The first was knowing himself that he had not had relations with Mary, that she must have cheated on him and had relations with someone else. And so that gave him the right by law, before they were even married, to divorce her. We know that most of these marriages were arranged marriages. They'd been in the making for years. They'd been planned out. And indeed, there was a commitment. They'd kind of known about maybe this ahead of time. They didn't go through the dating process like we do in America. And they didn't get married on a whim like we do in America sometimes. But these things were planned out by families. And there were arrangements made and all kinds of things that were. And so he had a right to divorce her. Matter of fact, the scripture tells us he thought about divorcing her. We know that even though Joseph knew he hadn't had relations with Mary, you know as well as I do that people are people and have been the same since the beginning of time. And there were plenty of people who thought Joseph had relations with Mary. And so his hardships were of a different type. He wasn't thrown into prison. He wasn't physically cast into a pit. But we know what it can do to us as people when other people decide that they know a truth, whether it's true or not. And the prison that it puts us in because somebody thinks what they heard is true, whether they can prove it or not. We know what happens. There are literally people who have lost jobs. They've lost place in society. They've had to move from their homes because somebody believes something that wasn't true. And so Joseph in the New Testament like Joseph in the Old Testament, had his own set of hardships to deal with. Had his own set of circumstances that he had to contend with. After indeed he had the dream and he was proven to him that this baby was of God. And he took on the responsibility of caring for Mary. Then there's this news of the census, and they have to make a trip while she's in the latter stages of her pregnancy that is some 70 miles. And then after the baby was born, because of Herod's threat to everyone less than 2 years of age, he again had to uproot his family and take a very small baby on a trip into Egypt. We know there were all kinds of challenges and hardships that were in the lives of both of these Josephs. But I want to read something to you from Scripture here, a couple of passages that just remind us of what we can learn from these Josephs and their experience. For it's recorded this way in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So the difficulties that we face in this life, according to Scripture, make us a more complete person. They bring us to a level of maturity. And then it says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, "And the God of all grace, who called you to this His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." I believe, as we come out of this Thanksgiving weekend, that indeed the God of heaven wants to give good gifts to His children. I believe that God wants to bless and prosper His people. But not for one moment, based on biblical history and real life, do I believe that there's any truth to a doctrine that says just because you're a Christian, nothing bad's ever going to happen to you. Matter of fact, everything that we read in scriptural theology, when you put the Bible in its completion, says to us, God's people have been challenged by the enemy. God's people went through hardships that were instigated by the enemy of their soul. And if we think we're going to get through this life without any hardships, we're kidding ourselves. But here's what we can know, that these hardships are intended for a purpose. That they are indeed intended to make us a better person. That they are intended to increase our trust in God. To bring us to a place of faith that's elevated from where we began as a young and mature Christian. And that God indeed has promised to restore us and make us strong, firm, and steadfast because of these hardships. Now, as we think about these two Josephs, not only do we know that they had difficulties and hardships, but we know that there indeed was character that was developed in their lives as a result of the difficulties that they faced. We just read in the Scripture where it says that Joseph came to this conclusion: "You, my brothers, intended harm to me. You, Potiphar, intended harm to me. You, prison inmates, intended harm to me." But God has taken every one of these difficult, challenging circumstances, and He's worked good out of them. And I'm in this position and this place today where I can feed my family, bring them to live here in Egypt, and I can help my father in his old age to have a reasonable end of life because I went through those circumstances and situations. And what we see in the New Testament Joseph is what we described earlier. There's only one response. There's never a word spoken that we have recorded. But in every instance, in the three appearances of angels to Joseph with specific directions to do something that was going to be a difficult task, there's not a question recorded. Joseph didn't say, "Well, why do I have to do that?" Or, "How am I going to do that?" The only thing that's recorded in Scripture was when these angels spoke to Joseph that he immediately responded in obedience. He did the very thing that he was told to do in the dreams where the angels appeared to him. Now, do you think he had questions? I think he did. Do you think he had anxiety? I think he did. Do you think he and Mary had conversations about how they were going to accomplish all this? I think they did. But the significance that God wanted recorded in history was Joseph did what I asked him to do. And so we remember these two men, these two Josephs, we remember because of the way they handled the difficult situations that came to them. It developed character in them. Romans chapter 5 says this to us, beginning at verse 3. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And what does it say about people who have character? And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. How many of us have been disappointed about the circumstances that we've encountered? It doesn't say that suffering won't disappoint us. What it says is that when we suffer and when we overcome, then that builds character. And that character develops hope. When we have the character that trusts in God, when we say that we're not going to allow these things to deter us because indeed God has a plan for us and we believe in His ultimate plan, then that character creates hope. We believe there's light at the end of the tunnel. We believe tomorrow is a better day. We believe it's better around the next corner. We believe that what is to come is better than what is. And we have the assurance and the promise of an eternal home with Jesus. This tale of two Josephs is a tale of hardship. It's a tale of developing character, but it's also a tale of their legacy. Their reputation, the final story as it's recorded, us seeing them in their complete life and where they came to at the end is what we remember. Yes, we know the story of those difficulties. We don't think so much about the fact that there was a difficulty. We think about the fact that with all the difficulties there were, in the end, they still trusted God and He delivered. That there is a reputation there that these were men who trusted God no matter what. And when we speak of the Old Testament Joseph, and when we speak of the New Testament Joseph, we speak of both of them in a very positive fashion because of their legacy, because of their reputation that they left behind, because of their history that is recorded. Let me just remind you this morning of these two passages, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. How many of you know that there are people out there that have a lot of money that aren't very well thought of? Isn't it better to go through life being highly thought of? To be esteemed amongst your peers? To have been known as a caring, giving, working person than just as somebody who's rich? A good name is more desirable than great riches. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 1 through 4 reads like this: A good name is better than fine perfume. And the day of death better than the day of birth. It's better to go to a house of mourning than to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of every man, and the living should take this to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. What's it trying to say to us? It's saying that people who go through life with no challenges and no difficulty don't develop character. And that when everything goes well, people tend to think it's because they did it. But when we encounter challenges in life, when we exercise our faith to put trust in an almighty sovereign God who indeed can help us to overcome, then we develop a testimony. Our peers begin to say, that guy's going to be all right because he trusts in God. Yeah, that was a hard hit that guy took, but he's going to get back up because he has faith in God. And so as we look at this tale of two Josephs this morning, we see two men at different periods of time, two men that have a different set of circumstances in life, but two men that indeed had some dreams. Some men who believed that there was a good future out there for them. And men who, in spite of challenging circumstances, continued to trust in God, to develop character, to mature to the point that when we speak about them in this service on this day, we speak of them positively and with esteem because their faith in God took them through the circumstances of their lives. I believe that we can live that kind of life. I believe that we can have that kind of impact on our culture and on our community. And when we face the day of our death, that the day of our death will be better than the day of our birth, because when we're born, nobody knows what we're going to be. The day of birth is full of hopes and dreams, but the day of death is a recorded history and reality and the impact that we've had on people through the course of life and a testimony to our faith in an almighty God. As we come into this Advent season, we want to seize every opportunity. There will be people in this world, this may be the only time they use the word Christ. Matter of fact, they're getting to the point now where we're going to have happy holidays and never a Merry Christmas, because they don't want to acknowledge Christ as being part of it. Do you know what? They can't change history. God is still God. Jesus still came. And He's coming again. And just as we celebrate His first coming, we want to have our relationship in a shape that we're prepared for a second coming. Amen? Let's stand together. Everybody has challenges in life. These altars are open to you this morning. Perhaps there's somebody here who says, you know, I just feel pretty beat up. Life's not been going so good. I kind of think God maybe forgot about me. And maybe you're even thinking about forgetting about God. The truth of the matter is, God is still in charge. He still loves you. And just like Brother Brett said, part of the message of Joseph's life is a message of forgiveness. And that was the message of Jesus' life. That's why He came. He forgave us. We should forgive others. And maybe there's somebody you're struggling with. Maybe there's a relationship that you're struggling with and you just can't forgive them. You just can't find it in your heart to think you could love them or care about them. Truth of the matter is, that'll hurt you a lot more than it does them. Some of them don't even know what you think or how you feel, and you're the one who's got the cancer inside of you eating you up. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the message of Christmas. We thank You for the message of grace, for a God who wanted to become one of us to show us the way back to Himself. And thank You for these two Josephs who teach us that you can indeed trust God, that you can believe in the midst of difficult circumstances, and that you can come out on the good side of things at the end of life. So, Lord, before we leave today, we just want to open these altars. And if there's someone here, Lord, who just needs a place to pray, we want them to have that opportunity. If you're here this morning, you just need a place to say, Lord, I need Your help. Lord, I want to be able to face the challenges. Lord, I want to be able to have the grace to forgive. Lord, just help me to trust You. I'm struggling. This can be a day of victory. God wants you to go from here in confidence and in right relationship to Him this morning. Anyone at all that needs to pray? Thank you so much for coming this morning, Brother Brett. Mindy, thank you again for taking our kids and teaching them. Been many people who have done that throughout the years, but you're doing it now. And so we thank you and appreciate that. And we're excited about future services with the children coming in and showing us their love for Jesus and helping us to worship Him. And indeed, we pray that every one of them will grow to love Jesus and know Him as their personal Savior and to live Christian lives. We are indeed blessed. Thank you for being here today. May God bless you richly. And we'll meet together in your small groups tonight or here at the church at 6 o'clock. And so we look forward to seeing you again. Remember, next Sunday morning, 9:30. Be here at 9:30. Be a part of this family program. It's fun. And you'll enjoy it. And it'll be a blessing to you. So 9:30. Be here and be a part. We don't have regular Sunday school. We indeed prepare for the presentation that we're going to make. And the whole church puts on the program. It's fun. It'll be a blast. Appreciate that so much. Pray a closing prayer for us, please.